Good morning. We're not going to Ecclesiastes today. I needed more time to study. But today we're going to Philemon, New Testament Philemon. It's in between Titus and Hebrews. It's one of the five books in the Bible which is with one chapter, single chapter, Philemon. As you turn there, I have a question for you. Have you ever desired to be an influential person? Have you ever desired to impact others? Not impress others, but impact others. I'm not talking about trying to be famous like the people in the world. But I'm talking about, in Christian language, to say, have you ever desired to be blessing for others? If you have been a Christian for a while, you might have tried at least once at one point of life. I've tried. And I failed too. And what happens in our minds? Once we know that we are failing, we get discouraged. And when you get discouraged, your thoughts go down. I can't be spiritually always stable. I can't lead somebody. I can't be influencing someone. So I'll just leave it to a pastor. Stephen, a pastor, he is godly. He'll be influential. His wife or Pita, she can influence. They're good enough. They're enough. I can't be influential person. So I don't need to read the word of God daily, study theology, lot books and all. Just I'll listen some sermon here and there. It's enough. And then it will go even down. I am not an influential person, right? I don't have to be influential person. So I don't need to read Bible every day. I'll listen to the sermon on Sunday. That's enough. I'll go to church. I'll go to Bible study. I'm not the person who is teaching, right? So I don't need to look at it also. I'll go sit there. Pastor will preach. I will listen. I'll be blessed. That's enough. I don't need to be. I'm not sinning actively, And we go even down in our spiritual lives. I'm not an influential person. I don't need to go every week, every home fellowship. I have things to do. So I'll attend only Sundays. We will go only on Sundays. And then that Sundays goes to once in a while, like 2 weeks in a month. And then 1 week in a month and you'll see suddenly falling down pretty bad. But what is the reason? See, the Christ's command for us is clear. Matthew chapter 5. You have to shine light. If you are a believer, the only reason that you are breathing here now is to shine Christ. But why do we go depressed? And not just that. What helps us to stay consistently faithful and consistently be a blessing, be an influential person in our lives? I think this book helps us to know Philemon. Philemon is, as I mentioned earlier, it's only one chapter, one of the smallest books in the Bible. And it's a very personal letter. It's a personal letter written by Apostle Paul to Philemon. And just for the context, Philemon was a rich man. Philemon is a citizen of Colossae. Probably some say he may be the one who accommodated the Colossian church, because he might have had a big house. He might have allowed. We can see Onesimus being slave of Philemon, which means he had a lot of slaves in his home. So he might be a rich man. He might have accommodated Colossian church. And this epistle also written at the same time when the Colossians epistle was written. Colossians epistle of Paul to Colossians was written to the church, but this letter was sent along with this Colossians epistle, but this is for personal use, personal reason, to Philemon. Paul wants to talk personally to Philemon. And if you have already read, it's about forgiveness, but the word forgiveness is not there. So Onesimus was a slave of Philemon. Probably he defrauded, took some money, ran away. He ran away from Philemon. and he ended up in Rome. We don't know how he met Paul, but Paul was also in prison. Remember, we studied this week, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, these epistles, Ephesians, these epistles were called prison epistles and written from the prison, Paul. So Onesimus somehow met Paul in Roman prison and got saved and then changed, transformed. And then now Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon to receive him as brother. So there is no word forgiveness mentioned, but it talks about forgiveness. It's behind the screens. So that's just for the context. Now let's go to the epistle. It's just 25 verses. We'll read through the epistle. And as we go through, I'll try to give you some outline, structure of this book. Philemon, I call this epistle a theme as the gospel relationships, or gospel that strengthens relationships through forgiveness. So that's the theme of this epistle. And verse 1, Philemon chapter 1, verse 1, it reads, I'm reading from ESV version, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. You can see Paul sometimes introducing himself as bond servant, slave of Jesus Christ, or apostle of Jesus Christ, but he mentions, I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker. Probably he is in ministry as well. Probably Philemon might be also a minister in the church. And Appia, our sister, which is Philemon's wife. And Archippus, our fellow soldier, another servant of God. And the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So one thing that we can see repeated in these three verses is our brother, our beloved fellow worker, our sister. Gospel establishes this family relationships. They are no one to each other before coming to Christ. But Paul now says, my beloved brother. Gospel establishes this family relationships. And verses 4 to 7. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints you have refreshed through you. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Gospel encourages and cultivates this love relationships in the family of God. Verses 8 to 22. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus. You can see this word, my child. Probably Onesimus was saved through Apostle Paul, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you. Sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he has parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bond servant, but more than a bond servant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me, even your even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me. For I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. What you can see is Paul requesting to restore Onesimus. Gospel restores broken relationships. Verses 23 to 25, Epaphras, my fellow soldier in Christ Jesus, sending greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Gospel generates this care among relationships. You can see Paul mentioning how they are sending greetings. And it's not that easy. It's not just how it is like now. In the earlier days when they write, they don't have social networking sites, or they don't have books or pens or papers. They have to write on certain things which are very costly for them to write and give. So to put someone's name just to mention that, you know, they're greeting you, they care for you, they're praying for you, it means. So when he personally writes about the other's names and how they're greeting, it shows how much this gospel generates this care among relationships. So gospel relationships, that's what we see. How gospel strengthens relationships through forgiveness. That's what we see in Philemon. But today we are going to closely look at Onesimus, the person in this epistle. Onesimus. How gospel has transformed Onesimus. That's what we want to see. I've been repeating this word gospel again and again, which is not found in this epistle. Same time. But we know from the context of the Bible that a person comes to Christ only through the gospel. Only through the gospel a person can come to Christ. Power of the gospel. Power of God is in the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. But what is this gospel? What is gospel? Can you articulate gospel? If you have pen and paper, you can write on it. How do you articulate gospel? It's very important to understand the gospel. In Luke chapter 2 verse 10, when the angels came, I'm reading some Christmas passage, preparing for the Christmas. Angels said to them in Luke chapter 2 verse 10, "For fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you gospel of great joy." Gospel is good news. That will be for all the people. What is that gospel? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So the news about the birth of Jesus Christ, news about Jesus Christ, who is Christ and the Lord, Savior, is gospel, is the angel says. Galatians 3:8, the scripture foreseeing that the God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. This is not just in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, the word says, Paul says, gospel has been preached beforehand to Abraham. And if you look at Genesis, you will see the Lord saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." Being repeated. Foreseeing that Jesus Christ will come forth in his lineage. Jesus Christ is the gospel. The news about Jesus Christ is the gospel. That's why the first four books of the New Testament are called the gospel. But if you want to go to a place where gospel is articulated clearly, we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I read from verse 3. It says, For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, And that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. So this is the gospel. If to remember, I think there are the only thing is gospel, the good news is the news about the Jesus Christ. What about the Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost, sinners. So there is a holy God and we are sinners. One day after death, we have to face him, give an account of our life. And for all the sins that we have committed, the just judgment is hellfire. But the good news is we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sins that we have committed. And resurrected, because all our sins are paid, he was resurrected for our justification. And ascended into heaven, proving that we will be also be accepted in heaven. If we put our faith in the work of Christ Jesus Christ. Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God in Christ Jesus is eternal life. So the life that we fail to live on this earth, Christ has fulfilled. So on the cross, this is what happens. Our sins are taken on Jesus Christ and his righteousness is given to us. There is a great exchange that is happening. If we put our faith in the work of Christ Jesus, we will have this great exchange. He will take all our sins and give us his righteousness. And we will have right standing before God, not because of our works, but because of the work of Jesus Christ. Because we will have his righteousness. I think that's the gospel. News about Jesus Christ. How he is the savior for sinners. That's the gospel. And that is the gospel that has changed Paul, that has changed Onesimus, that has changed Philemon. And that's why these relationships are gospel relationships. And today, primarily, we are looking at the transforming power of the gospel. For you to consistently be a blessing for others, we have to take confidence, not in ourselves, but in the transforming power of the gospel. Because gospel has transformed Paul in this epistle, as you can see, Onesimus, Philemon, and the rest of the saints that are here. First and foremost, there are two aspects of transforming power of the gospel today we are looking. First and foremost, first aspect is that the gospel has power to redeem people. Now let's look at this plea, the body of the letter, Paul's plea for Onesimus to Philemon. Especially from verse 8, he says, accordingly, I though am bold enough in Christ to command you. So I'm old enough to command you, my brother Philemon. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. And the way, you see the way he appeals. I, Paul, an old man, now a prisoner, also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus. For my child Onesimus. He calls Onesimus as his own son. And you can see this in Paul's epistles. He calls Timothy, Titus, even Onesimus here as his son. He was the spiritual father for these people. So that's why he calls I can't call them disciples of Paul, but these people whom he influenced as his own sons. My son Onesimus. He's not slave anymore. He is my son. That's the way he introduces. Onesimus is now Christian. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. Paul, by preaching the gospel, was able to save Timothy. We can see Onesimus even here. Gospel alone has power to redeem people. And even in our lives, if we want to be influential or blessing for others, we have to rely on the gospel, not on our own personal abilities. Gospel has power. We have to preach the gospel. And how much power gospel has? Can gospel save difficult people? Think about Paul himself. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Remember in 1 Timothy 1:12 he said, I thank him, God, who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. And verse 13, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. He was a persecutor. I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. So people who saw him, if you have read Acts, you might have seen he was the one who was responsible for the martyrdom of Stephen. In chapter 8, you'll see that. People who saw, they might have thought, this person is hard to change. Forget about he becoming Christian. If I was there, I would have thought, God, take him away. We are suffering. You have to remember how he was. If you read Acts, he went into the houses. He didn't even consider children or women. He dragged them out and persecuted. Not a normal persecutor. People ran away. If they know that Paul is somewhere near, they wouldn't dare to meet. He was a persecutor, a difficult person. Think of Philemon. He was a rich man. Why would a rich man come to faith? That's what many people think. I remember people asking me, my friend is happy and, you know, he's a good guy and he's a rich guy. How can I preach gospel to him? You know, you think, whenever you think you have to preach gospel because someone is suffering and, you know, someone is struggling with some addictions or someone struggling with, you know, family problems, and then you can reach out, if someone is suffering, so I can go with the gospel, that's a very wrong idea. Everybody needs gospel. The need of the gospel comes when they understand they are sinners and they need Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Even the happy, rich friend of yours need the gospel because he is a sinner. Philemon was a wealthy man. Remember Jesus Christ saying, it is easier for a camel to enter into the eye of the needle than the rich man enter into the kingdom of God. How difficult it is. Philemon was a difficult person. Onesimus was a slave. You have maids in your home? Even worse than that, our maids have rights. But Onesimus was a slave. He's like a property to Philemon. We're all difficult people. We think, oh, it's when you think that he is the difficult person, then actually you are a very prideful person because we are all difficult person. Think of yourself before coming into Christ. How tough you were. Everyone need the same grace. Everyone needs the gospel. Power of God rests in the gospel. Not in your ability to communicate the gospel, but the gospel itself has power to redeem people. So we need to pray to God because God has to involve in that person's life. God has to make him understand the gospel. So we need to be prayerful to be influential person, knowing that gospel redeems people, even difficult people. One thing we have to do is to run to God and pray for them and preach the gospel. Remember Jesus Christ's words. He said, I have come not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. He saves difficult people, difficult sinners like us. And second manifestation of the power of the gospel that redeems people is that gospel can redeem people from difficult situations. Now imagine Onesimus itself. Onesimus was in a house where the church is gathering, probably. At least, okay, that's an assumption. But this much we know clear from the Bible that Philemon was the owner. Onesimus was a slave. Being a faithful servant of God, probably he might have preached the gospel. Onesimus might have heard the gospel. But Onesimus ran away from him. Stolen and ran away. So you think, when you think of when if or only if Onesimus was in my home like earlier, I could have preached him gospel, I would have discipled him, he could have changed. Now he ran away, now this is a very dangerous world, he took so much money and ran away, no way he's going to come back. He might have taken all the money, went to Goa, Eshkaravga. No way he's going to come to the Lord. It's a very difficult situation. We think of this also in our lives, right? We think our children are at home, so they're very protected. You know, oh, if they go further away, I don't think I can influence. No situation is harder for God to reach out and save. Onesimus was in a difficult situation. And in those days, police were there to catch the slaves. It was very hard. Think of Paul himself, who is writing this epistle. What kind of person he was. At what situation he got saved. He was rushing so that he could destroy the church. God saved that person. Difficult situation. See God's design. He says, verse 22, at the same time prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers I'll be graciously given to you. So Paul is in prison. You can see these words, I'm hoping that through your prayers I'll be graciously given to you. So he was in prison, you're praying for me, I'm hoping that I'll be relieved from here and I'll be coming, so prepare a place. He is in prison. That's what I want to establish. Onesimus took money, ran away to Goa, is roaming, enjoying. He went to Rome, especially the city. And he somehow met Paul. But where was he? He's in prison. Especially in the culture of this shame and honor, where when you meet people in prison, how can that person influence other person? You yourself are in prison. You might be a criminal. Imagine. But Paul, even in that situation, could influence others. God led Onesimus to Paul. And from the church building to prison he went. In prison he got saved. Difficult situation. If you think your loved one whom you're trying to reach out, or your friend is getting worse and worse, running away from the gospel, running away from God, one thing you have to take courage in now today is the gospel has power and God has power. So you go to God and be faithful and share in the gospel. Trust in the transformation power of the gospel. Gospel can redeem people, difficult people from difficult situations. And the second aspect of the gospel, find that in verse 13. Verse 13 says, I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. This talks about Onesimus' character. How he is useful to Paul now. He changed. Earlier he was useless, but he is useful to Paul now. Has changed. It equips people. See, when we look at yourself, like I failed and I tried to be influential person, but I was not consistent. The problem is that you're looking at yourself, not God. And the solution is for the believers, gospel has power to redeem people, for those who are redeemed, for equipping you to be influential person also, you have to preach the gospel to yourself. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 2, he says, Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. Which you received and which you stand. Gospel is not the ticket that you take, enter and go inside and grow in something else. It's not an entry ticket, and then it's not that you will be perfected through your works. But verse 2, he says, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, which is gospel. So you hold fast to the gospel. It's not the entry ticket, but it's the whole pole that you cling to. How do you preach gospel to yourself? What is preaching gospel to yourself? You have to remind yourself that Christ is the Savior. That's the gospel, right? News about Jesus Christ. How is the sinner's Savior? Is the gospel. So you have to preach to yourself every day that Christ is the Savior and you are a sinner. When you think I am failing, you're not preaching yourself. You have to be aware that you're not bringing your loved ones to the Lord by preaching your transformed life. Oh, see how great I am. You also come. I'll make you great. No. I am a sinner. I needed Christ, and so do you. Preach the gospel to yourself, and you are not perfect. You are a sinner and you needed Christ. And then when you fail, it's very important to preach to yourself the gospel. You remind yourself that you're a sinner. And Christ is the Savior. You need Christ all your life. And when you think that you are living the victorious Christian life, first and foremost, that idea of thinking that you are living a victorious Christian life is itself wrong. If you I read this book by Jerry Bridges, Pursuit of Holiness, he gives a very humbling approach for this sanctification life. You don't see sanctification life as a victorious Christian life. That's when it becomes option. Oh, I don't need to be victorious Christian. I can be a normal Christian. When you see it as your calling to obey to your Lord, it's not an option. You have to obey to the Lord. So Christian life is not about your victorious Christian life. It's about your victory. It's about Christ's victory. You have to submit to the Lord of your life. So you have to preach to yourself the gospel. When you fail, you have to remind yourself that you need Christ always. And when you think that you're living a successful life, remember that Christ is the Lord. You are a sinner. The gospel has to be preached to humble yourself. And you remember Paul writing to Timothy, he said, be strengthened by the grace of God. You will be strengthened, empowered by the gospel, by the grace of the gospel. Gospel was applied, or else the grace applies the gospel. Gospel works through the grace. We are saved by grace, not by faith. So you need to be strengthened by the same grace. And God is a gracious God. And He'll give you grace abundantly to be strengthened. To be empowered, to be equipped. And this grace, the word grace is, we think when we talk about grace and thinking of God as a gracious God, you might be thinking that God is a very nice person, you know, a very kind person, which is true. He's a very forgiving God, loving God. But the word grace is very powerful than what you think. You were a sinner, and grace has to wage war in you and overcome. Grace overthrown your sin and saved you for Christ. You see, grace is the power of God. God's grace is the source of the power, Christian life. You need that grace, which will kill the sin in you and empower you to live an obedient Christian life. You should be strengthened by the grace of the gospel. So gospel redeems people, difficult people, from difficult situation. Gospel equips the redeemed For what? To be servant leaders, as you can see in verse 13. As he talks about Onesimus, he says, I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me. He was a servant leader. Gospel molded Onesimus to be a servant. And servants are the leaders, right? Verse 11, as you see, earlier when he mentioned about Onesimus, he says, verse 10 I'll read, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Verse 11, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you. Useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. He was useless earlier, he says. But now he is useful because he became a servant leader. Let's think of Onesimus' useless state. What does it mean to be useless? How was Onesimus? What did Onesimus do? He thought of himself. He took some money. He ran away so that he can have his own life. Selfish person is a useless person in God's kingdom. It might sound mean, but it's the truth. Selfish person is a useless person. If you are a selfish person, you're useless to the kingdom of God. But now, after this transformation, he became a servant. Now he's profitable, useful. I wish he stays with me. If he comes to you, Philemon, you will put him in that hard work and slavery. Let him stay here. He will have nice food, nice clothing I'm providing in our home. You know, it will be nice for him. No, Paul is talking about how he is profitable to, Onesimus is profitable to me. He's serving me. He can serve you. He's profitable to you also. He's a servant now. Power. When selfish person is a useless person, person to the kingdom of God, selfless, sacrificial person is powerful first person to the kingdom of God. Think of Moses. He was a servant. Paul himself, servant. We cannot be useful to God if we remain selfish. If you only think of me, my family, in the church, you know, we want a decent life on this earth. Or we want all our family members to believe and we all together will go to heaven. That's the motto in life. There is some problem. There is something wrong. The gospel transforms people to think of others. To reach out to others. And that selfishness is somewhere there in all of us. Some level. I think we have to battle with it. With the grace of God, we have to overcome. Talking about Paul himself, 2 Corinthians 1:23. Paul says, but I call God as witness to my soul that to spare you, I did not come again to Corinth, not that we lord it over your faith, but are workers with you for your joy. We are not lords, but we are servants for your joy. You see the attitude of Paul? And that's what Jesus Christ taught, Mark chapter 10. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as ransom for many. Jesus Christ was a servant leader. And to serve people is to imitate Christ. I think you can start today to be the servant leader, starting by establishing, cultivating the habits of praying. Charles Spurgeon said, the kindest thing that you can ever do to another person is prayer. Because you are moving God. You are asking God to move in that person's life. I think I shared this illustration multiple times. It comes from the old 90s movies which I saw in my childhood. The two characters, a little kid and another young man, hero, lead role. Both of them are misery people. So they don't spend money. They'll try to take others' money. And once when the little kid goes to this someone's house and one lady comes with some snacks and some peanuts, I guess. And she will offer that little kid, take it, take it. And the little kid will say, oh, no, 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 no. And she will push him to take, but he will not take. And then later that lady gets fed up and then she will take and then she will put him in his hand and pocket and she will leave. And the lead role, the other person, who both of them are same kanjus, so he will ask, I know you want that peanuts, but why did you say no? The little one says, are, if I take, how big is my hand? Very little, no? I'll only get this much. I know that lady wants to give me. If I say no, she will only put in my hand. Now see, I got in hand, I got in pockets, so much I got. Her hand is big. When you put your effort in people's life, that's very little, nothing actually. But when you pray, ask God to involve, that's, you're asking heaven to move. That's the best way to start. Can you cultivate this habit of praying? First, start as a servant leader and involving in their lives, praying for them, compassionate. Servant leader, he became servant leader. And not just servant leader, I'm going out of Philemon, but because we are looking at actually Onesimus' character, Colossians chapter 4, verse 9. He says, and with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Something has happened and you will hear that grace, a great story of his salvation. But now Onesimus is a faithful and beloved brother. He was a servant. Now he became faithful. He's a faithful servant. Faithful servant. Paul is talking about Onesimus with all these words. And I want you to look at the heart of Paul now as he writes this epistle as well. The way he pleads Philemon as well, even if you see in verse 8, I'm bold enough to command, but he says, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. Twice he mentions, I appeal to you. And see, he uses this old man card. He says, see, I am Paul. I'm an old man now. And I'm also a prisoner. He is using all that he can to convince Philemon to take Onesimus. What did Onesimus do which made Paul to use all his efforts to convince Philemon to take Onesimus? And the way he also puts, if he had wronged you, put it in my account. He says, if he had wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account in verse 18. Why he has to force that? I will repay it, he says. And verse 17, if you consider me as your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If someone says that to me, I will think it as a warning. It's like, don't give me warning. You consider me as your partner, then take them. That's a warning for me. What made Paul to write this epistle in such a powerful way? That's the transformation of Onesimus. How gospel has transformed a slave, selfish slave, to be a faithful servant. He is so sure. Remember, being ordained by Paul is not that easy. When they wanted to start the second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to bring his cousin John Mark. Paul says no. He deserted us in Pamphylia. He can't come. He is not faithful. It's not that easy to be ordained by Paul. So that Paul is, putting all his efforts to reconcile Onesimus. That you can see the way Onesimus been faithful in service. He became a faithful servant. Faithfulness. Gospel can make you faithful. Gospel can make you stable in Christian life. Gospel can make you consistent in Christian life. If you think you are weak, think of Onesimus. He was a slave. Now, you know, church history says he became elder at Ephesus. Imagine being a slave in the same crowd, being a maid at someone's house, and being the pastor of the same congregation. If you think you are weak, you can't be an influential person, I think you have to look at the power of the transforming power of the gospel, how it transformed these lives. Philemon, Paul, Onesimus. First Corinthians 1:28. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Our confidence is in Christ. Our confidence is in the power of the gospel of Christ Jesus. It's okay. Sorry, it's not okay. But it is normal to fail. I was taught by Pastor Chris to say, it's not okay. But it is normal. We all sinners, we will fail in Christian life. But we have to preach to ourselves the gospel and preach to others the gospel. Point people to Christ, not to yourself. Would you take a commitment this morning to trust and take confidence in the transforming power of the gospel and be a blessing, channel of blessing to your own family, to the church, everywhere you are? It's not about you, it's about Christ. Let's bow down and pray. Father, this morning, we are really grateful for this word, for this record of your power in the scriptures. We saw the transformed lives, how gospel transformed these people. I pray that today we'll stop looking at ourselves, and I pray that our eyes will be gazed on the cross, Christ, His victory. And I pray that we will take confidence in Christ and in the gospel of Christ Jesus. And I pray that we will resolve to shine Christ in places that you kept us. Bless CCC. We submit this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.